Bring us to the knowledge of our responsibility and our rights in Christ Jesus. We thank you to everybody here and those who are still on their way. We thank you for the word that's coming forth. And we trust that you have enlightened our hearts. You have given us understanding hearts, listening ears for these things that you are going to speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, today I just want to round off what we have discussed so far on this issue of... at the beginning we titled it Anatomy of Prayer, but like I said, I think what I initially had in mind is slightly different from what I ended up doing. So I believe that the Spirit of God prevailed beyond what I wanted to do. All right. So we ended up speaking extensively and most importantly about praying for a nation. But today I will add a few things about this intercessory prayer, which is exactly what we have been talking about. I will make a few other notes, and I want us to notice everything very carefully. Now, before we kick off again, let's read a few scriptures that we have read again in the past so that we can settle into it again today and have it penetrating our hearts as we hear it again and again. Psalm 122, I'll read from verse 6. It says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Notice that. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls. Now, note that word, may they prosper who love you. Then open again to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. "And seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray for the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare." Let's read another verse, 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." All right, then open to Isaiah 62, verse 6. "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. Say, you who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Now, for time's sake, we'll just read these short verses. But before I go on, you know, last time, now, let me just pass a few comments and then I will say something, then we'll continue where we stopped last time. Now, if you remember, last time we started speaking about, well, over the last many sessions, we have been talking about this issue of prayer for a nation, praying for situations, how people have different weights in the presence of God. And that's what we defined as righteousness. And that Paul said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You understand? And that he said, the just shall live by faith. Now, he now said that the righteousness of God is revealed in the faith in Jesus Christ. And we said that that is a very practical thing, not just something that is abstract. So that when we are saying that somebody is righteous, it's not just that he has answered an altar call, but that the faith that he claims to have in the Lord Jesus is reflecting in his everyday life. And we explained that in detail. So we said anybody who has been judged to be of faith and therefore righteous before God has a voice before God. And we said that God on the earth, before he can do anything, he uses men. He involves men in the things that he's doing. That is, people on this earth. That is, people on the earth will speak a word into the environment, or they will make a request from God concerning the environment they are living in. And God will, by reason of the words that they have spoken, he will use those words as an excuse, as a reason to come into their situation and act. So we said God has watchmen. That's what we call these people. And the watchmen are people of faith, number one, as we have seen, and that they are people of passion. If I may just explain, let me just recount something we said at the beginning, that three things control the earth: the purpose of God, the behavior of men, and then the prayers of men. Now, talking about this prayer of men, that watchmen of God, when they pray, they are men of faith and they are men of passion, and that their words have a great weight in God's presence. That's what we have said up till now. And last time we began to see that anything that God will want to do on the earth, what he would do is to reveal it to people. You understand my point? And he stirred up the spirit of Daniel to read the prophecies of Jeremiah that outlined the plan of God. And Daniel, who the angel testified, is a highly esteemed or was a highly esteemed person before God. He went to God as a man of faith and a man of passion. Daniel, a man of righteousness, spoke words and made requests from God concerning what he had promised that he would do. I was quoting the prophecies of Jeremiah. That is those words that God would depend on to cause things to be on the earth. And the emphasis I laid last time, especially talking about a nation, is that God has planted a church in a nation. Do you understand my point? And when we talk about church, we mean that the people inside the church are people that he has predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That is, these are people that he will listen to when they talk. That at other times, many people will come and speak, but God will not have a reason to listen to them. They've been deficient in their mercy account with God. But that these people that have obtained mercy will come to God, and by reason of the mercy they have obtained, their environment to be able also to obtain mercy. Okay, so we said that when God wants to do something, therefore, in a nation, he's counting on those people to pray concerning what he's going to do. And that we should not assume that if people don't do anything, God will still do everything. No, we should not assume that. We have to bear in mind that God is counting on us and is waiting actually for us to speak a word so that he can do something about the environment. That, you see, we explain that, therefore, that it is not the multitude of words that the people speak. Rather, is the weight of the person speaking when he's speaking in God's presence. And that if this person will have something he's praying about, we give a practical example that, okay, we don't like maybe the situation of the police. So every day we come to God, and you know, when Jesus was teaching disciples to pray, he emphasized to them that you have to persistently pray, knock and keep on knocking until the door is open. Do you understand my point? That you do not just say, I have prayed once, and then you forget it. But like Isaiah, Elijah, when he ceased reigning Israel by his prophecy, when it was time to bring rain back, he told his servant to stand and be watching while he went to pray. And he continued to pray until the servant said, I see a cloud. It's very small. It's like the size of a man's hand. And he said, okay, now that is enough sign for me that something is about to be released. So he told the king, run, because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. What I'm saying is this. Until we see tangible manifestations of the things that we are talking about, we do not have a right to stop praying. Now, it might appear that what I'm saying is not in agreement with what Jesus taught as faith, but it is, because you remember when James was speaking, he gave Elijah as an example of a man of faith who prayed fervently. Do you understand my point? So he was not praying in unbelief. Do you understand what I'm saying? However, if you are praying about something concerning your personal self, and you believe God for a car, and you pray, I believe I have received it, that is correct. And for your own personal life, it might not be appropriate. We are not going to discuss that in details now. It might not be appropriate to keep on going back to God, asking for the same thing, because it might appear that for you, you are saying God did not hear you the first time. But listen, when you are talking about praying for situations that are out of your own person, you understand my point? You are facing a nation, you are facing a town, you are facing a state, you are facing a judicial system, you are facing the police force, you are facing the economy of a nation. Come on, you will not just say, Lord, I ask that there will be peace in the economy of Nigeria, and I thank God you have heard, and you forget it. No, my brother, it doesn't work like that. My sister, it does not work like that. The emphasis Jesus gave to us was that men have to knock and keep on knocking. And if they continue knocking like that, eventually they will produce a crack in the door, and the door will be opened unto them. Now, you understand that I'm paraphrasing what I'm trying to explain, or what it was that Jesus said. Now, I'm not going to go over all of that, because we discussed it at length. The one we read from Luke chapter 11 last time. All right. So, what Jesus said there is this. He gave an example. A man went in Luke chapter 11 to go and ask his friend for bread, because he has a visitor. He wasn't asking for himself. Do you understand my point? And he wouldn't leave. That was the emphasis Jesus was placing there, until that guy would give him bread. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, I now told us, I gave a few examples from Derek Prince, and I brought this book and I read from it, that when situations arise, now having said all this thing that we have said about the kind of person praying, the passion with which he's praying, the faith with which he's praying, and the persistence with which he's praying. You notice those things. He's persistent, he's a man of passion, and the man is praying in faith. Now, with that persistence, it doesn't have to be multitude of words. The point is that he has, like Paul would say, I am not boxing as one who's just boxing the air. I have a goal, I have a vision, and I'm pointing directly at a particular point. Now, in line with that, I think let's just quickly read. Now, before we go back to that, there's something I want to say. I want to say we should read Isaiah 56. Did you read it just now? Okay, all right. We'll go back. You can open there so that I'll remember to read it. Talking about the duties of the watchmen. All right. Now, there's something I want to bring out today and explain in details for a few minutes. It should take us less than 10 minutes to do that, because it is important that we get it. Let me tell you one thing. God said, I have not called the children of Israel to serve me for nothing. Do you follow my point? He said, but I promised them a reward. Listen to this. Every time God asks you to do something and you do it, there is always, 100% of the times, there is always a reward. Do you follow me? You know, there is always a reward. God does not owe people. God will not owe anybody. God always attaches a reward to the obedience to what he has said. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he shall bless your bread and your waters. Do you follow what I'm saying? Anytime you obey the word of God, there is always a blessing. In fact, there is a teaching I wrote long ago that the God just opened my heart to it, and I saw it. I think hold down Isaiah chapter 56, and please open to, I think, that should be Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'll read from verse 5. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. King James says openly. Now, but the point I want to make here is this. Notice what he said. If you use the King James, he said he will reward you. Am I right? If you have a King James there. The word there is reward. That the New American Standard that I'm reading here says he will repay. And but if you go back a step, in fact, it's even clear here, verse 5. A New American Standard also says, truly I say to you, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, they have their reward in full. Now, what am I trying to bring out here? If I come and I make a request and you give me my request, is that a reward? It is not. It is clear it is not a reward, but an answer. A reward is for service rendered. A reward is for obedience performed. A reward is for an assignment carried out as ordered. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you do something that God is happy with and he's pleased with, what he does is to give you a reward. That is, what the Lord Jesus was saying here is that when these people were praying, the kind of prayer they were praying was not give me bread. Do you understand my point? If it was give me bread, the supply of bread would not be an answer and not a reward. Do you follow? But notice one thing he said here. He said they pray publicly so that they may be seen by men. Listen to me. I remember those days when I was in the University of Benin. People used to go and pray in the sports complex. It was a very large place where everybody could go to pray. And one day, one of my friends was remarking on something that he has observed. He said, when people there are worshiping God, you understand? That, oh, Father, you are so good, you are so kind, almighty God, hallowed be thy name, that they speak it very loud. But when you come to the request they want to make, they drop their voice because around them, there are many other people praying, and they do not want to discuss intimate things openly. It is easy to worship and bless the name of the Lord openly. But when it comes to discussing and asking God for your personal issues, come on, you do not want to say it openly. What am I trying to say? When the hypocrites here will be praying, and they will be praying in such a manner that they will have glory before men, you can be sure they didn't come and say, Father, I farmed last year. I harvested only 200 bushels. This year I have sown my seed. No, nobody will want to do that openly. I'm explaining something to you. That their pattern of praying was not for themselves. Now, because of time, I will not go into explain it in details. Let me just give you the summary, which is born out of many a long period of meditation and praying about this thing myself. And I came to the understanding. They were praying essentially for the salvation of Israel. They were praying for the coming of the kingdom of God. Do you understand my point? And that was a national issue. That was why, if you remember, even after Jesus died and rose from the dead, one question the disciples asked was, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? That was an issue in the heart of every Israelite at that point in time. And he was saying, when the people will come here, they will pray openly so that people will know they have a passion for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. He said they have their reward in full. What is their reward? That man is a man that prays. That what is their reward? That is a holy person. People love it. You know, they go around with an air of religiosity, of holiness, that these are the people. But Jesus was saying here, but when you are going to pray, what do? You go into your closet and do it in secret. He said, your heavenly Father will give you your own reward. Now, what I'm saying here is this. The prayer they are praying, any prayer you pray, I think we even discussed something along this line some time ago. Any prayer you pray that is not for yourself is the one that has a reward. The other one only gets an answer. Do you understand my point? If you pray for yourself, you don't deserve a reward. Do you understand what I mean? Why should I give you reward for eating your food in the morning? Except you are an infant, you know, like, okay, eat your, of course, that's for children. When you eat your vegetables, you eat your soup, you eat your food that's not sweet, then mommy might give you a piece of sweet to make your life sweeter, you know, as a reward for her. But you don't do that with adults. You understand? In fact, I was in a book on how to raise children during the week, and two people were talking. You know, it was trying to use it to make an illustration about how to train children. He said two men were discussing about their dogs. One said he gives his dog some expensive, you know, dog food. The other one said, they have the same kind of dog. The other one said, well, my own dog eats vegetables and stuff that we eat in the house. He said, I never could get my own dog to eat that. So the other fellow said, my own too. And he refused to eat it for the first 3 weeks. Then when he was about to starve to death, the guy woke up and said, my God, a guy eating this thing is not dead yet. Let me also eat. What am I saying? You do not reward that dog for eating his food. It's for his own health that he woke up to the reality that he has to eat his food. God will not reward you for praying for yourself at all. You don't deserve any reward. It's just common sense. You have made use of the common sense that he gave you. What he will give you rather is an answer to your prayer. But here we are talking about people who are praying for things that are not them. Things that are not their personal problems alone. You know, one of the things I remembered even before, I realized even before I began to understand this principle of watchmen and God placing a duty upon people is that, you know, they have a saying in my place. They said that the sky is falling is not one man's struggle. You understand what I'm saying? That is, the sky is going to fall down. Yeah, well, come on. We are about 6 billion on the earth. Why should I be the only one worrying about the fact that the sky is about to fall down? Now, let me tell you the truth. That is absolutely wrong. The philosophy behind it is erroneous, is absolutely irresponsible. That's a very good word. It's an irresponsible philosophy. Do you follow me? You know, every day, once in a while, you know, you watch TV and you see people talk about endangered species. You know, if you notice, endangered species is the problem of advanced countries. Are you getting my point? The African or the Asian, if he sees the one particular monkey, that is the only one left. Maybe the other two are female, he's the only male. And that's the one he catches, he will kill it and eat it. He doesn't give a damn that's the end of the species. Why? A man has to be full first. Before it starts worrying about the survival of animals, for goodness sake. You know, you tell you that they shouldn't, you know, I served near a national park, a national reserve that's in Taraba State, Kashaka Gumti Park. And the men who lived there, a lot of them were hunters. Now they are telling them that within these several hundreds of kilometers of square kilometers, hundreds of them, they said that you can't shoot animals. And the men don't understand. What are you talking about? This is what my father did for a living. Now, okay, if I don't shoot animals, what am I going to be eating? Now, why am I saying all this? To the average African, listen, endangerment is not their concern. If the white man is so concerned, you remove the species and go and farm them somewhere in their country. Why? this man's stomach is endangered. You understand my point? His children's school fees, they are endangered. His house is endangered. The man's livelihood is endangered. You're worried about one monkey or one deer that's endangered. Look, when we have finished that one, God will create another one. That's what the man understands. And if the Lord doesn't want him to kill that one, the Lord had better supply bread in abundance. Now, what am I saying? The people that God has given bread in abundance, they can be worrying about what? Endangered species. You know, this afternoon I was reading, was it yesterday night? A National Geographic. And I just shook my head at the point in time. Some people were researching, they were going down some holes to find out how some people used to die like 2,000 years ago. The rituals those people used to perform. And I was looking at them like, these people have really eaten and they are full. Then they are complaining that during the Gulf War, there are a lot of looting of national treasures, which the people dug up from the ground. And that, no, it is not right that every time somebody takes away one piece, we are losing history. And I'm just shaking my head like, oh God. When you have eaten and you are full and have blessed the name of the Lord who has dealt wondrously with you, that's when you worry about these kind of things. You understand my point? And you tell me that this kind of artifact can be sold in the black market for maybe $20,000. Even me, a preacher man, if I find that in my backyard, I'm not taking it to any national museum. Do you understand my point? They say it's history. Yes, I will sell it to a man who will go and donate it to the national museum. $20,000 to an African, come on. He doesn't care about history. After all, you are studying history of, 3,000 years ago. Now, why am I saying all this? Is it that those things are wrong or bad? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that to the man that has eaten, has the assignment of preserving history and endangered species been given? To the one that is hungry, God has instructed him to go and feed his family first. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I just use all this to explain that the sky is falling is not one man's trouble, is a wrong philosophy. Do you understand my point? When Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is expected. When God has given you a lot of understanding, God expects that you will use that. And if you are the only person that will hold this pillar that will keep the sky up, then you have to hold it. It is your assignment in life. And for holding that pillar, God gives you a reward. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God does not expect everybody to do everything. You know, in fact, the time I began to understand this thing was where I used to live in one part of Enugu, in Transekulu. We had a very bad power supply in that area, and our transformer was always failing, or they used to call it what they call phase failure. So several times, a lot of times, you are sitting in your house at 10 p.m., that's it, your light goes off. You check, there are only 6 streets involved. The whole of the other areas, they have their lights shining bright. So you pick up your phone and you call NEPA. Now, those were before the days of per second billing on GSM. It was quite expensive. You call NEPA and then they tell you, do you have a car? You said, yes. Can you come to our office to come and carry workmen at 10 p.m. to come and fix your light? Now, the human response is, the sky is falling, it's not one man's trouble. I'm talking about sometimes as much as 8 streets are involved. Now, each street having about 14 houses. You know, they were short streets. Now, imagine 14 houses times 8. Now, within each house, there are at least, on the average, 2 families living in there, and they are on the average, okay? Now, that is, there's a head in most of those families. Most of them, because of the area, have cars. Yet, we get up, leave my house at 10 p.m., and go and bring NEPA officials who will fix the light, then I will return them back to their office and get back home and settle down maybe around 11. Sometimes after that. Then it happens again, maybe after 4 days or the following week. Then you wait whether somebody else will do it. And find out that I found out that in that whole area, we're just about 3 that used to bother. We're not using the light for business. It's just for comfort in our homes. And this was a chronic problem. At the point in time, I said, no, I know they do it again. Then I said, no. God has given different assignments to different people. Me and the other 2 people are probably the saviors that God have planted in that area to ensure this. One thing you have to bear in mind is that God loves people and God is always trying to help people. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord loves people and is always looking for an avenue to be a blessing. Even when it was time for him to pour forth judgment, one thing he said was that I pour forth my wrath after I found no man that could be an intercessor. The Bible says it clearly, he's slow to anger and is abounding in mercies, in loving kindness. That is, when God wants to bless people also, it is somebody he will use. And because of his abounding love and mercy, he expects the people also to abound in patience as they do what he has called them to do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. Now, if we understand this, you will understand therefore that on this earth also, God has ordained that each one of us that he has given understanding to, we carry loads that will affect thousands of people and maybe millions of people. You can keep it. Now that we have understood that, I was just explaining that, see, God, therefore, he has an assignment for us, and when we perform what he has said, there is a reward. And that's what the Lord was saying here, that the sky is falling is the trouble of a few people that have placed on the earth as people who will be able to feel the warnings of the sky about to fall. And when they pray and uphold the sky, there is a reward for them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In fact, if I might just give myself as an example, it appeared as if, because two of us that we used to be bought that around that area, another one of my friends, shortly after, he bought a very big diesel gen. It's now I'm just tying it together. And shortly after also, I also bought a big diesel generator. Apparently, well, I'm just using as an example. I'm not saying that's what happened, all right? Maybe those generators were our reward that God gave us for carrying the trouble of the whole streets upon our own heads. So that he gave us rest roundabout. You understand what I'm saying? Because you see, the other times that we will go at night, it used to cost money. That is, fueling your house. I mean, it was quite some drive from where we're staying to where the Nepal people used to walk around the clock. It was quite some drive. And the amount of money you spent making the call alone, you know, this was before the days of Persecombly. If MTN truncated it halfway through, you paid for the whole minute and you started again. You understand my point? Now, so that's what the Lord Jesus was saying here, that certain kinds of prayer has reward with it. Now, you see, because of our time, we cannot go into the details of everything, but I'll just read another scripture. I think, I said you should wait in Isaiah 56, right? Okay, now open to Isaiah 52. God always gives reward. And one of the things I have found out, for example, there are times people are praying to hold back destruction, and God will look at the people who hold back destruction, who are trying to hold back destruction. And you know, there are times that their prayer would not be enough to hold back the destruction. You understand my point? Like the Bible will say that sometimes the destruction that's determined is overflowing with righteousness. It is difficult to turn it back. But for the people who were praying, what God will do for them is to deliver them out of that destruction. In fact, I think I should read the scripture to just to show us that, you know, it will really explain it. Now, Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations which are being committed in its midst. Now, this has a lot of applications, but I just wanted to point this one out. That, you see, if God... Now, after this, what happened was that anybody that was not marked, the angel of death was meant to go ahead and destroy them, all right? But I just use that one to let you know that if you will, for example, be praying for the prosperity of a land, and but because of the iniquity that's in the land, God, in his righteousness, cannot pour forth the kind of prosperity that you are praying about upon that land. What he will do eventually is that he will ensure that you personally have that kind of prosperity. You understand? Even if the rest of the land cannot receive it. Now, I know that I said before that that is not God's ideal. God's ideal is that he will prosper you as the land is being prospered. And in response to the prayer and the spiritual water that you are pouring upon the dry ground. But there are times, which for many reasons may happen, that God will not be able to pour forth that abundance that you are requesting. What he will do is that he will give you personally. There was something one man said I read long ago. He said that, now this is his own explanation and interpretation of why Abraham asked for 10 people. He believed that Abraham was counting on the likes of Lot and Co. and that his concern for that land, for all that prayer, was to save Lot, his nephew, and his family. And that after Abraham prayed, and God was not able to spare the land for the number of people that Abraham was asking for, that God saw the heart of Abraham and understood that his primary concern was for Lot and his family. So that when he went into that city, God delivered Lot and his family. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, God understands and is ever willing to bless the person who is offering up the prayer for the preservation of the whole land. And most of the time, if things are right, God will preserve the land for their sake. But when he cannot preserve the land, he delivers the people out of the destruction that is coming upon the land. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why the Lord was saying them that there is a reward for praying. There is a kind of prayer that has reward. It is not every kind of prayer that has reward. If you are praying for your own personal needs, you will get an answer, but there is no reward attached. When Solomon went to God and said, God said, ask for anything. God said, give prosperity to this land. He said, make this land a great nation by giving me wisdom. Now, I'm paraphrasing and rearranging his words. By giving me wisdom to rule effectively as a king. God said, that is a very good prayer. Now, this is the reward for your prayer. Number one, you get an answer. The answer for your prayer is that what you have requested will be given you. You will have wisdom to rule. You will be a good king. But this is the reward. You will have more wisdom than you need to rule. This is another reward. You will have such wealth that nobody before you or after you will have this kind of wealth. You will have such fame and such glory. All these are what? Rewards for the prayer that he prayed. Let me tell you what. If you are praying, take a country like Nigeria and let's come practical again. And you are praying for the economy of the nation. You are praying for prosperity in the land. You are praying for justice in the land. Listen to me. When you pray actively for justice in the land, God will see to it that you are never oppressed. That every time that you reach out for justice. Now, for a time, you may have to feel some of the pains of the people, which will cause you to rise up in prayer to God. Do you follow what I'm saying? But at the point in time, God will ensure that he will put a seal over your head. That the craziest unjust policeman or officer of the law, in whatever category, when he sees you, he will be incapacitated. You understand my point? He will not be able to oppress. That will be a reward for your prayer. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? Do you understand the point I am making? So when you are praying concerning the economy, when you are praying concerning prosperity, you are a young man and you are growing up in life and growing up in your vision and in your goals, what God will be doing, he will be setting you up, you understand my point, as a ruler, as a shaker, and as a mover in the market in Nigeria. You know, I said something before when we were talking about spiritual economics, that life is lived as a reward. The reason why God will bless some people, you will never understand. Because when you look at their lifestyle, they may not even appear to be living a lifestyle of the man that God should bless. Do you understand my point? When they are making decisions, they may not be making decisions of somebody that you think God is about to bless. But what God is looking out at is that, listen, when 59% of the banks in Nigeria were going to collapse, I delivered them because of the prayer of this man. But remember what Jesus said? He prayed that prayer in his closet. Do you follow my point? It was not in prayer meeting in church. It was not at Kingdom World teaching meetings. It was not anywhere else, but in his closet, he prayed. Nobody understood why, but they just realized that, look, before at a particular season, so many banks collapsed. Now, another season of collapse was about to come, and we saw the sign. Then suddenly, the Fisibian governor said this, and they worked out some methods by which the banks were rescued, and everything became cool. In that process, thousands of jobs have been saved. In that process, so many children are still going to school. Many families have been delivered from hunger. God said, I did that because of the prayer that was being prayed in the corner in one small little single room apartment that one of my children has in one low class area of one small town in Nigeria. Do you get my point? Now, the man prayed the prayer. Eventually, 20 years along the line, nobody knows. Only God, who knows, begins to reward the man. Then one day, when he pops his finger like this, you find out that about 15 banks will be shaking and knocking their knees because of God popped his finger. Why? By reason of the amount of wealth that he's controlling in all of them. That when the man puts his money in a particular area, everybody believes that, this is where the action is. Because they have noticed that over the years, anything this guy does prospers. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But all this being a reward for the season that he knelt down in that single room apartment where he was living, crying out to God for deliverance for the peoples. And God gives this to him as what? A reward. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's one thing I want you to understand from the words that Jesus spoke when he said that your heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward you. I like the addition of King James, openly. That is, when God is rewarding you, people will say, but since they did not see in secret, they will not be able to explain why it is that God is blessing you. Like our favorite scripture says, by faith we understand that his blessings were framed by the word of God, and nobody can explain it based upon the family he came out from, based upon the course that he studied in school, based upon the grade that he studied in that course, or based upon the men that he knew along the line. That is, will not be able to explain it out of the things that are visible. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I said I wanted to chip that one in before we go back to complete what we said last time. Bear it in mind. I said we should open Isaiah 52, right? Okay, I think I should read that. It said, from verse 7, how lovely on the mountains at the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. He said, listen, your watchmen lift their voices. They shout joyfully together. The next line says, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. That's what I want to bring out here. That is, the watchmen that have been lifting up of their voices. He said, they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Now, that was the kind of thing that happened to Simeon. The man was waiting and longing and praying. It was when I was studying Luke recently, I understood that even for the Lord Jesus to come at that time, there were people praying and waiting for his arrival. And by reason of their prayer, Mary was being delivered from troubles. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? By reason of their prayer, Joseph was being delivered from troubles. By reason of their prayer, certain things were happening to ensure that the coming of the Lord was appropriately correct and that the Lord will come as the Lord has planned. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you go and read about Anna. You go and read about Simeon. These were people who for decades were praying in the temple daily with fastings, the Bible says, because they were looking out for the salvation of Israel. You understand? And then another thing you will notice is that he said that Anna, I think it was Anna, he used to talk to people and teach them about the salvation of God. One of the things you find about watchmen is that God gives them the assignment of instructing other people also. There was one scripture I wanted to quote. I can't even remember where I read it from. Well, but the other ones anyway. You look at somebody like Samuel. Samuel told the children of Israel, well, behold your king. You have the king now. I hope you are happy. He said, now, in requesting for a king, you have done wrongly. He said, but far be it that I should sin against God by not continually praying for you. Please, open to 1 Samuel. And I'll show you something there. When Samuel was instructing the people, he said, verse 20, 1 Samuel 12, 20. And Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with your heart. And you must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things. Now, that's not the one I want to... Just jump down to verse 23. He said, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. Did you notice that? That is, prayer is not the only thing he was doing, but instruction in the good and in the right way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Explaining the ways of the Lord to the people. And that was the kind of thing that Hannah used to do. And because of that, and Simeon also, God gave them a promise that they will not die until they have seen with their eyes the salvation of the Lord. Do you understand the point I am making? Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, you see, that if you will pray to God concerning this nation, God is saying, I'm giving that word based on understanding now, that your eyes will see and you will rejoice. Do you get what I'm saying? That this is a promise, this is the reward of God for those who will lift up their voices and pray for justice in the land and pray for prosperity upon the land. God said they will see and they will rejoice. Are you getting me? That is, they will see. I said that God said, I have not told the children of Israel to come and serve me for nothing. King James says, in a desolate place. But he said, I have promised them a reward. That's how God does things. He promises a reward. And when it comes to prayer, Jesus has said it, that the reward that Jesus, that the Lord gives to those who are praying for the peace of the land, who are seeking His good, who are seeking His prosperity, is always shown openly. I hope you get the point I'm making. It's important we understand it. That is, there is a reward for watchmen. People who lift up their voices and say, God, pour forth your abundance upon this land. Those who lift up their voices and say, Lord, bring peace upon the land. God says that even if 1,000 dies by your right and by your side and 10,000 by your right hand, that none will come near you. You know, there was some scripture we read again and again in the past. From Isaiah chapter 54, when he was talking about no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. He said, but every tongue that rises up against you in judgment will be condemned. He said, this is the heritage of what? The servants are. You know, we emphasized it to that time. That is not the heritage of the sons. No, but the heritage of those who are doing the will of God. The servants of God. Those who are pursuing the purpose, the instructions of God for their lives with a singleness of heart. He said, this is their heritage. You are getting the point I'm making. That is, the Lord said, I have not asked you to pray for your nation for nothing. Apart from answering the prayer, there is a reward I attach to those who take their time out to pray for those things. I hope you understand you have understood what I have said so far. Now, in the time that we have left, we'll just continue where we dropped off last time. And I remember that, where do we stop? We're reading Derek Prince.